This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
All right, Denton, it's a simple question, probably with an obvious answer, but I also want to sort of push it out to, you know, how we will feel if this is what it looks like heading into training camp. So the part one is, have they done enough on defense?
I do not think that they have done enough on defense, no.
So when we get to training camp, if this is the group that they have in place, and no big deal, no big splash, Hendrickson re-signed with Cincinnati, etc., or got traded elsewhere, what will you be thinking heading into 2025 with the obvious, you know, concern from last year not being, you know, addressed enough?
I'd be very, very confused. You know, I understand the concept of hoping that another year in the system magically changes things. You know, you get everybody understands it, they know their role, they get better at that. I totally get that. But I don't know that I can rely on that if you are in a position where you want to win now. Not all in, like I'm in agreement with you in that there's a very big difference between all in and win now mode. You're in a win now mode looking to build a roster that can compete for years and years to win a championship. But if they hypothetically go, let's just say heavy on offense in the NFL draft, and they don't take an edge guy until, like, they make some trades, they get one in round four, and they don't really address anything in the first couple of rounds with the first couple of picks, I'd be very, very concerned. I'd have some questions. If they don't land Trey Hendrickson, they don't land Trey Hendrickson. I think that's fine as long as you address that position of need in the draft. This is a great draft to do it. I don't mind Adam Peters sticking to the plan. This does strike me as a front office that has an overarching plan of how they want this team to look for years to come and not throwing that plan away because they had one really good season, which should be why you don't give up the draft capital that is being requested for Trey Hendrickson. I don't have any problem with that, but if they go different directions and don't get an edge guy early in the draft or as early as they're going to be drafting in the draft, despite the strength of the class, I'm going to be a little concerned.
My buddy Ricky just sent me a text and he just said, what could they have done that they didn't do? Well, there were some options out there. You know, they obviously could have been in on the Josh Sweat market. You know, he signed, you know, what was it? It was close to $80 million with the Cardinals, right?
Yeah, 4 years, like 76, I think it was.
Okay. They could have been in on Charvarius Ward, you know, a high-level corner, a guy that, you know, needed out of San Francisco that the general manager obviously was familiar with. The guy from Dallas, you know, with a lot of the consonants in his last name, Odie, whatever. There was talk about him being a possibility. Milton Williams from Philadelphia was a possibility. He got a massive deal with the Patriots. So there were things that could have been done that would have perhaps made us feel differently than we feel right now, which is Javon Kinlaw was the major outside ad and the major retain was Bobby Wagner. All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Have they done enough? And then B, just what could they have done and how will you feel if this is the group that they head to training camp with? Let's start with our guy, Lou. Lou, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, Kevin? How's it going?
What's up, Lou?
Kevin, nothing much. Can you hear me?
I got you. Yeah.
Let me get out of here for a second.
You got a lot of things going on there right now.
I think, can you hear me now? I think it's a little quiet now.
I got you, Lou.
Can you hear me now? Yeah, man.
Can you hear me now?
Come on, Kevin. We won 12 games, 13 games last season with Benjamin St. Juice, and you telling me Jonathan Jones and the other guy from New Orleans Saints that we got. I think it's an upgrade. Maybe the defensive inside, maybe we could maybe get that in the Matthew Judon. I don't know. So one of these guys may maybe
– Judon's still out there. He did not play well in Atlanta last year.
Yeah. Or the other guy from Detroit, Za'Darius Smith, maybe.
Yep.
Maybe.
Still out there.
In maybe, in a one-year deal, maybe kind of.
Lou's having some issues. Let's go to Ian. Ian, go ahead.
Kevin, I don't think they've done enough on defense. I don't think they've done enough on offense. I think the Kunsil deal was fantastic. But outside of that, bringing in an aging Deebo Samuel with tons of wear and tear and injury history isn't good enough on offense. And on defense, I don't know how anyone can make the argument they're better. And this notion that they'll improve in year number two, well, that could be applicable to 31 other teams. Everyone
True.
Thinks they're getting better and improving. So I don't know what the Vegas odds are, but I don't see that win total moving one iota based on this free agency period. And for all those people who are like, let Adam Peters cook and all this free cash flow and salary cap money, it's been underwhelming. Like, I didn't expect Trey Hendrickson and Myles Garrett and this guy and that guy, but more than just Laremy Tunsil. I mean, it's been underwhelming. Offense, defense, everything. It's been underwhelming.
Tunsil's a major move. They just added one of the best pass-protecting left tackles in the game. That is a major upgrade over what they've had. At a very critical position.
I agree with you. But outside of that, I expected more. Again, they don't have to be crazy. They don't have to go all in and blow it up for 1 year. But again, your offensive upgrades are Tunsil, which is an A-plus acquisition, and Deebo Samuel. I mean, is that exciting? I don't know. Zach Ertz is older. I just think it's been underwhelming. That's my conclusion.
I think retaining Ertz was actually kind of a big deal, but I don't think he was going anywhere. I think the Tunsil deal makes me disagree with you offensively. When you improve that significantly in a move at arguably the second most important position offensively, you should be even better offensively on paper than you were. Do we want to see another playmaker somewhere? Deebo is in a contract year. He could be the second best playmaker they have offensively after the quarterback and Terry. Defensively, to me, is where you don't have the feeling that they've improved as much as they needed to improve to address what was the number one reason that they couldn't get through the NFC Championship game into a Super Bowl, is that they just weren't good enough defensively, period. I know the turnovers were a big factor in that game, but overall, I mean, a lot of the reasons that they were winning these games with dramatics at the end is they were giving up a lot of points. Whether it was to Philly without, by the way, Jalen Hurts, or to Atlanta with a rookie quarterback, starting, even against New Orleans, for crying out loud, with Spencer Rattler. you had to rely on your quarterback to overcome all of that. Let's go to William in North Carolina. William, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, no problem. Hey, I think they haven't really done as much as I want them to do, but really I trust them because remember last year we were complaining about all the players coming in and look what they did. And even if and I trust, you know, due to draft choice and all that, but if they stand still based on where they are, and I still trust them because I think they'll go with the scheme. And even though I'm speaking from a fan, but we got to trust them that they're doing a job. And just think about a couple years ago or 3 years ago. Their coach and the coach and general manager, what they did. And we've complained about it. I'm going to relax, sit under the umbrella, and just listen to you. Thanks.
Well, that is definitely an adult way to pursue it. But, you know, what if we didn't talk about these things as they happen in real time, I mean, what do you want to – you want to talk hockey for the next hour and a half? I mean, I understand where you're coming from. And for me, there is a certain level of – they've built enough trust. They've earned enough trust. By the way, beyond just the front office, the coaching staff to coach them up in year two, even more so. And to your point last year, and we talked about this last week, I mean, all of the one-year deals, no big splashes. I mean, I loved Luvu when they got him, but people were talking about Wagner being too old, Ertz being too injured. I mean, I don't know that there was more pushback last year to any of their signings than there was to Marcus Mariota. I just remember the loud groan from all of you. Oh, he stinks. Why would we sign him? Well, he was crucial. You know, I don't think people complained about Biotish, but, you know, it was like too many Cowboys with Armstrong, etc. There was a lot of complaining about what went on last year. A lot of those players they signed really did produce. Let's go to Steve in Columbia. Steve, have they done enough defensively? And, you know, what could they have done? And how will you feel if this is the group heading into 2025 on defense?
All right, Kevin, how you doing?
Good, Steve.
I think they could have done more, all right? But there were specific areas, you know, an edge to stop the run and an edge pass rusher. I think they will trade back in the draft and pick up some guys. I do think the defense as is today is better than it was last year. These might not be named guys, but I think they fit the scheme that they're trying
to play. That's possible.
I do have concern about the scheme, though, because I think when you're doing a 4-2, you need linebackers who can go side to side. And I don't know, and as good as Bobby is, I don't think he's got that lateral movement to get over there. But maybe you pick up a guy in the draft or one of these guys, Kinlaw, whoever, who can set that edge better. So I'm optimistic, and I also think Debo is going to be a significant upgrade on the receiving end. He's going to come there in shape. He has something to prove. I think McCaffrey's also going to step up. So I'm optimistic.
Yeah, and, you know, with respect to sort of the linebackers, they really liked Jordan McGee last year. He just never got healthy. And to your point, there are players that were drafted last year like McCaffrey, like McGee, like Sinnott, who they may be expecting, like Johnny Newton, they may be expecting to really step up and in year two, you know, most players don't have career years in their first year like the quarterback did. So I think sometimes, you know, I think all NFL fans do this. You forget about last year's draft class, and it's actually in year two and year three where you start to see that draft class mature if it's going to mature. So there's a lot of that. And to your first point, just about, and by the way, Luvu definitely is a sideline to sideline, you know, a linebacker. And I thought they did a good job with Chin in the box, and hopefully Will Harris will fill that role. Quan Martin's pretty capable there too. But they may have signed players that they feel better about in their scheme. Kinlaw may be playing more, you know, as a defensive end. You know, and Eddie Goldman is a rotational piece. They may feel better about Daron Payne in year two in the same system. Johnny Newton, the same thing. They brought back Sheldon Day. I mean, Sheldon Day had a couple of actually outstanding games, not with high snap counts. I think they liked, and I mentioned this before they re-signed him over the weekend, I think they liked Jalen Holmes last year, 96. And I think they also liked 90, their seventh-round pick last year, John Baptiste. I think there was a lot to his game that they liked. So that's the thing, is like year two of John Baptiste, let's just use him as an example, we may be talking about him as if they really found a dude that can do it in the seventh round. We just didn't see it sort of mature and materialize until his second year in the league. There's a lot of that can happen. But right now, looking at it, it doesn't look like they did enough. You know, if they had signed Khalil Mack, we'd feel a little bit differently. If it was a defensive class that was DJ Reed and Khalil Mack and Josh, well, they wouldn't have signed Sweat as well. But if it was like Mack and Reed and, who else am I? They wouldn't have done Ward. Javon Holland, you know, instead of Will Harris, we would have said, wow. But they didn't sign those players, and maybe there were lots of reasons for not signing those players, including in Khalil Mack's case, he wanted to stay in L.A. and play for the team he played for last year. If you're on hold, stay there. Have they done enough on defense? I think the answer is obviously on paper, no, but I think there's a lot more context to it. The question part two is, how will you feel if this is it, other than a draft choice or two, heading into August and September with, you know, the part of the team that was the bigger concern last year, not being, you know, obviously improved. 301-230-0980. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Wizards last night, they lose to the Trailblazers 112-97. Alex Saar had 20 points. Tristan Vucevic had 17 off the bench for the Wizards. Caps in action tonight at home against the Red Wings at 7. Alex Ovechkin is 8 goals away from passing Wayne Gretzky, 7 away from tying. The Caps also 2 points behind the Winnipeg Jets for the most in the NHL. MLB season kicked off in Tokyo. Yep. We all knew that. The Dodgers beat the Cubs in the Tokyo Series Game 1, 4-1. Shohei Ohtani went 2-5 in the Tokyo Dome out there in Japan. NFL news, Ojolari, say that one 10 times fast. Aziz Ojolari signed a 1-year, $4 million deal with Philly. Two first four games tonight in the NCAA tournament. You get San Francis, that's in Pennsylvania, and Alabama State in the battle of the 16 seeds at 6:40. Alabama State a 4.5-point favorite in that one. Then you get UNC and San Diego State in the battle of the 11 seeds at 9:10. You can hear that game right here on the Team 980. UNC currently a 4.5-point favorite in that one. And that's what's trending.